the fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Have you got game? Got game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, a show by gamers for gamers. A huge show for you this week with two big guests. Victor Lucas joins us to talk about the goodness that is the third annual Canadian Video Game Awards. And Blue Jays all-star outfielder Jose Bautista drops by and puts a huge smile on Brian Calhoun's face. Find out why. Plus, we have some cool stuff to give away. Stay tuned to find out how you can win.
Have you got game?
This is Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Momin Qureshi in the host chair. Christine Chubb across the table from me. Brian Calhoun not with us yet, but he will be with us in segment two. We're very excited to have a special guest with us this week. You know him as the face and host of the Electric Playground and Reviews in the Run, and we're here to talk about the third annual, I can't believe we're on the third annual, Canadian Video Game Awards, which are taking place on April 21st. I, of course, am talking about Victor Lucas. Victor, thanks for joining us.
Oh, this is a real treat. Thank you. This is awesome.
I just mentioned it in the intro there. We had you on when the first annual, it wasn't annual, but it's become annual. And we're on the third now. And I remember when you had you on the first time, you were talking about how you just kind of really wanted to give light on Canadian video games. I mean, can you believe we're on the third one already?
It's happening very quickly, I'll tell you. And these things require a ton of work. So, it really just sort of adds up and stacks up. So we start thinking about these things maybe 6 months before the awards are put together, and there's a lot of phone call, a lot of outreach. It takes a lot of support from the community, from Rogers, who airs the programming, from my team as well. I mean, we really don't do this as a business. We do this because we love this industry and we want to support it. So it's a lot of people chipping in to make this thing happen. And, you know, this is going to be an incredible night. I'm so excited to see these awards, the third annual, come together because we've got some new faces in there, and I'm just really, really stoked.
One of the new faces you have is you have a host, and it's a host that a lot of people know in this industry. He's got a lot of credits, David Hayter. How did that all come to?
Well, I'm so excited he's doing this, and I'll tell you, he is very excited, and I've just been blown away by his passion for this. He's already shot a whole bunch of segments for us and pieces for the show in Los Angeles with our LA team, which generously gave up a bunch of time to go and shoot him and do all kinds of cool stuff with him. But he's been writing little bits and pieces for himself throughout the show. There's going to be some great Metal Gear surprises throughout the show. But we've also got some other, cool video appearances from people you may recognize. And then we have awesome new presenters this year. Billy Campbell, who I'm a huge fan of from The Rocketeer, he's also one of the stars in The Killing, is going to be giving out an award, as is his co-host Eric Layden, who is also the voice of Cole McGrath in Infamous 2.
Very cool.
And he's in Left 4 Dead as well. Jennifer Hale is coming up, who is a renowned video game voiceover. She's an artist. She's in Mass Effect. She's in everything. If you look her up on IMDb, it's ridiculous how many awesome video games she's been a part of. Elias Tufexis from BSX Human Revolution is coming out to give out an award. And obviously, this is a huge year for Eidos Montreal and Deus Ex. So, Yanis Malat, who is the CEO of Ubisoft in Montreal and in Toronto, is coming out to give out an award. It's really an eclectic bunch of people. It's really coming together very well. And we've got great musical performances happening as well that are being led by Dave Genn, who's one of the members of 5440. He's our band leader, and he's going to be doing a bunch of cool interpretations of the music that's nominated for Best Original Score at the CVAs this year.
We're talking to Victor Lucas of the Electric Playground and Reviews in the Run about the Canadian Video Game Awards, which will be on April the 21st in Vancouver, but it'll air on City TV on April the 28th at 8 p.m. and then on G4 TV several times that weekend. Victor, let's get to the awards. I mean, I remember you telling me that one of the reasons that you started this whole concept is because unless you're really like a hardcore gamer, you don't know that a lot of great games are made here in Canada. And that's the honest to God's truth, is that if you just look through even the nominees for Game of the Year with Deus Ex and Assassin's Creed and FIFA 12, Fight Night Champions, I mean, I think a lot of people don't know that some of those big AAA titles come out of this country.
Yeah, I mean, and that's been true right from the very beginning. And I think these awards were long overdue. And, you know, I was busy just building the TV programming that we were doing for so long that I had had this idea a long time ago, but it took a long time before we were kind of able to sort of step on the gas with this. And thankfully, we met our partners at Reboot Communications, who specialize in putting on events. And they really did a lot of the heavy lifting in terms of organization for us. And they leave a lot of just the production responsibilities to our company, which is what we can kind of focus on. I think these were long overdue. And what's interesting now, and it's totally apparent in the nominee list for this year's CBAs, are all of these cool independent game developers that have, you know, experience at some of these major studios and maybe have left to start their own companies and have worked on some really groundbreaking new titles. And, of course, one of the big ones, I think, has the most nominations this year is Sword and Sorcery EP, the Super Brothers game from Capybara. And that's such a phenomenal game, and it's sitting right up there against some of these titles that cost, you know, tens of millions of dollars, maybe $20-30 million. And I don't think that was the budget on Super Brothers. And Fez just released today, I think, and I don't think a lot of people out there understand that that was made by, I think, one guy out of Montreal. And, great buzz on that game. I haven't played it yet, but I've been reading all kinds of incredible things about it, and I can't wait to play it. But that's kind of the state of our business. Not only are we excelling in Canada at making huge studio, massive global brand games like Assassin's Creed, Need for Speed, and Fight Night, and FIFA, and NHL, but we're also, there's so much experience in our country now that even the indie teams are excelling and doing some incredible work out there and being recognized all over the world. And it's, you know, absolutely exciting, super exciting to be putting on an award show to, you know, put these guys in the spotlight and applaud them for the incredible work that they do.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. I know that when the Vita was coming out, we went out to a couple of launch events here, and there was a lot of indie developers from here in Toronto and really around the country that were doing stuff, and it's really awesome. Have you noticed since you started the show a few years ago that a lot more Canadian developers have been trying to get in touch with you and trying to like wave their hands and get you to look over to where they are because they are doing such great stuff?
That's pretty persistent. We're pretty, thanks to our incredible relationship with Rogers and being on TV on City and FX and G4 every day, we're kind of ubiquitous right now. And I hate to sound, you know, boastful about that, but we're on all the time. So I'm getting a lot of people reaching out to me, especially across Canada, a lot locally because I'm based in Vancouver. And I wish I had the time to get to every single thing out there. You know, we're very busy with the amount of stuff that we have to review for the show and the amount of content that we have to cover on Electric Playground. We're doing our best. I mean, we're trying to get to everything out there, but it is amazing. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, we're the third largest video game producing country in the world, and we have a tenth of the population of America, you know? And I just cannot get over how many people in this country are just kicking ass at making video games. It's crazy. You can't throw a stone without finding some incredible hotbed of awesome video game development talent in this country.
I absolutely agree. We're talking to Victor Lucas, the host of the Electric Playground and Reviews on the Run, talking about the third annual Canadian Video Game Awards, which are taking place on April 21st in Vancouver, but they are airing on April 28th on City TV at 8 p.m. and then on G4 TV several times that weekend. One of the things, too, that I noticed, Victor, is that we've had the chance now in the last couple of years to go around to different events, and it seems like it took a while, but now governments and a lot of bodies of governments, whether it's local, provincial, or federal, are jumping on board with grants and stuff, and that's really kind of helping propel things forward.
Well, I think government organizations across the country, and certainly at the provincial level, as we're seeing in Quebec, and their massive tax breaks, which is allowing all kinds of international companies to create studios in there, and I think that's fantastic. There's some amazing work coming out of those studios. I think they're seeing that, and I don't mean to disparage any of the other entertainment that Canada produces, but I think the video game content that we produce is truly our greatest cultural export. This is stuff that I think impacts people on a global level in a bigger way than the movie business out of Canada does, or the television industry out of Canada does, or the music industry even out of Canada does. Video games are that we make in this country go all over the world, and I think it's very important for citizens of the country to be proud of that, and also for the governments that represent the citizens of this country to be proud of that and respect that and encourage and nourish that, because obviously We have the technical savvy, the artistic passion, experience, and the will to make world-class games, and I think we should step on the accelerator and be the world leader. I mean, we're number three right now. Let's get to number two. Hell, let's get to number one.
Here, here. Couldn't agree more. Couldn't agree more. I wanted to ask you, I know this is a labor of love for you, and it's a lot of your blood, sweat, and tears and stuff, but is there one thing in particular that you're really looking forward to this weekend that maybe people wouldn't think about? I mean, what is it that you are most excited about to see for the award show?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'm not hosting this year, and it was really important for me to start making that transition away, because I don't like that I get so much attention about this. I mean, I appreciate that people want to talk to me about it, and I'm very proud that I'm a co-founder of this, and I've pushed to get this thing together, but this isn't about me. This is about the game companies, you know, and I'm just really excited to let David Hayter host this year, because he's as passionate about video games as I am, and just kind of spread it out a little bit, you know, to make it a little bit more about more people, because this is a big business and video games are incredibly collaborative. They take a lot of people, a lot of egos meshing together to build this stuff. And, so what I'm excited about is to see this come together and for to be able to watch it, you know, I was on stage the whole time, it felt like, and I was nervous and it was fun, but it was, and it was gratifying and all of that. But, you know, it's just going to be great to just watch my little baby kind of grow up and all of these awesome people kind of make it better and richer, just like the shows have grown. And I'm so incredibly proud of both Electric Playground and Reviews on the Run because of all of the amazing talent that I get to work with. Every single person on these programs just blows me away.
Well, we have the fortune on this side to know quite a few of the people that are co-hosts and featured on your shows over here, and we deal with them on a fairly regular basis, and we love them, and they pop in on our show every now and then, and that's we love that part. Now, I'm glad you brought up your baby, because I did want to say congratulations, and one of the things, congratulations on the baby. We see pictures that you tweet every now and then or post on Facebook, and yeah, she's completely adorable. But one of the things that we have a couple of minutes here to talk about that I wanted to divert to just for a minute, and I know you're not we've had the pleasure of meeting you a few times, and you're not boastful or egotistical at all, and you're totally humble, which we love, but you did a TED talk a couple of months ago, and it took over Facebook, and it was being tweeted, and I watched it, and I know Christine watched it, and Brian watched it on the show, and the subject matter was really cool, and it was kind of about not being a jerk and you writing a letter to your unborn daughter at that point. And I just wanted to ask you what it's been like in the months following that, because it really kind of took social media by storm there for a while and caught a big wave, and people were really, talking about it a lot. And it was a great message in there.
Oh, thank you very much. That was something that I agonized over putting that together, I have to tell you. And I was, it was personal, and I don't usually talk about myself too much in the work that I do. I usually talk about other people's work and how I feel about it or you know, what they're working on. So it was really kind of odd to be so revealing in that space. And especially, I was the last speaker on that day, and I was already nervous to begin with. But after I watched every single one of these amazing speakers go up there and just nail it and just blow me away with what they had to say, I was so nervous. But I think why it did work on the day and why I resonated a little bit through social media was that it was really, it's a simple message that I have followed. I mean, I tried to kind of capture some, some of the guidelines that I've sort of led in my life, and I think that have helped for me to have a career in this business. And I tried to kind of boil it down, and I certainly thought about what kind of message I was going to pass on to my daughter Ruby. And so I mean, the message is, can I say what the message is?
You could use a synonym for it, I think.
Okay. I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but yeah, I mean, it is, don't be a jerk, and people should just follow me on Twitter, and I'll tell them.
Well, they should definitely check out the video if they haven't seen it. And I think the reason that it struck me so much is I think particularly in what we do in covering video games, there is a lot of cynicism and a lot of negativity, and I think a lot of it is unfounded, where people are just so down on things for the sake of being down on things. And that's why when I saw your talk, I was like, yes, that's such a good message, because sometimes people take what we do for granted, and I think it gets kind of lost in the message a bit.
It's so destructive, this cynicism, you know, and like I've been doing this for a long time, and I was able to get Electric Playground off of the ground, which started everything back in 1995, because I wasn't cynical, because I had nothing but optimism, because I had nothing but hope, and also a realization that there was an emptiness out there for this kind of coverage around video games and talking about them from a purely passionate kind of viewpoint and a curiosity kind of viewpoint. And that wasn't happening in television. And I find it really discouraging that people would look at any form of media coverage or any form of artistic endeavor and be cynical or negative. And I mean, obviously, this isn't Disneyland that we live in, this world that we live in. But I don't know. I think it is a very destructive kind of viewpoint. And I think that people need to kind of find their joys and follow their blisses, you know, and I think they'll have better lives.
That is Victor Lucas, the host of the Electric Playground and Reviews on the Run. Like, I have to tell anybody on this show who he is, talking about the Canadian Video Game Awards, the third annual edition, taking place on April 21st in Vancouver. It'll air at 8 p.m. on City TV on April the 28th and on various other times on G4 TV that weekend. Coming up on this show, we have another big guest coming up soon. It's Joey Bats 19. If you don't know who that is, stick around, we'll tell you. And we're going to talk about some big news coming up next on Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
We've got game. Do you? In the game.
You're back listening to another edition of Got Game on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. The voice you're hearing is that of Momin Qureshi. That's me in the host chair, Christine Chubb, sitting to my left. And hey, look who finally decided to drop into the studio and join us for the show. It's Brian Calhoun.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've been here the entire time.
Way to destroy the illusion of radio. Because you really weren't there for the first segment. But
I don't know what you're
now
talking about. I've been here the entire time.
And we're thrilled to have you. That was quite a long bathroom break you took. So we're happy that you're back.
Well, when you got to go, you got to go.
When you got to go, you got to go. Coming up in our next segment, I should say this right now. Stick around because you're going to hear one of the best athletes, not only in this city, but in the world, talk about video games. Confused? You should be. But it's coming up later on, so hang in there. You'll want to hear it. But for now, he's not a big athlete, but he is a listener of the show, and so we want to talk about him. His name is Adam, and he wrote us a question, and we're always willing to take your questions. You can send us emails at gotgame@sportsnet590.ca or write us on our Twitter account, gotgame590.
Adam, decide to tweet us at gotgame590.
Yes. And if you go to our gotgame590 Twitter page, the official Twitter page of Got Game, you'll see our personal Twitter handles. Give us all a follow. We love to talk about gaming and other such stuff. And the list question from Adam is, discussions are flying about the possibility of a next-gen console blocking used games. Is that a good or bad idea? And we know that there is a lot of talk of a potential. We had a story a few weeks ago of Sony unveiling a console at E3. Lots of talk of Microsoft doing the same. So a lot of them will not be reportedly backwards compatible. And he wants to know how you guys feel. Calhoun, I'll start with you.
The question isn't backwards compatibility. It's used games.
Oh, is it? No.
Yeah.
Oh, that is true. Okay, go on.
Well, I actually thought about this for a while. I spent like a good portion of the week actually trying to figure out what I thought about this. And it occurred to me that there were a lot of games that I've gotten at specialty retailers, like EB Games. And those games, I don't know if I could actually have gotten anywhere else, like at a Walmart or at a Future Shop. Big box stores would definitely go for like the big titles. But stuff like Binary Domain, it was a shooter that came out earlier this year, which you could only find pretty much at like a specialty store, like a GameStop. If the used sales go away, I would imagine that those specialty stores would go away because that's their big business. Mm-hmm. And if those stores go away, then
the industry as a whole suffers.
Yeah. You'll get fewer games on the market. The bigger games will still be there, but not every game will be there.
Christine?
I don't like people telling me what I can and can't do. And I remember when I was younger and they had the whole thing about not being able to recording tapes of CDs and stuff like that. And they're like, no, we have to stop this piracy. It's horrible. But you know, if I want to borrow a game from a friend, I should be able to do that. If I want to rent a game somewhere, I should be able to do that.
This is why I've always thought the idea of blocking used games by consoles is a terrible idea, because you miss out on a chance to gain a new fan.
Mm-hmm.
For example, Christine, you have never played the Uncharted series.
No.
I gave you Uncharted 1 and 2.
You did.
When you play that, you may fall in love and be like, I want to play every Uncharted game that comes after this.
Mm-hmm.
So While you don't make the initial investment, Calhoun, you lent me Mass Effect 2. I had never played Mass Effect 2 before that. I played it. I said, hey, this is kind of cool. I like this series. Yeah. I want to keep playing Mass Effect. And it's the same with all games where, you know, that's how it is with TV shows with your friends. You know, you told me about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I had never watched that show before. Now I've seen every episode they've ever made.
Love it.
It's like that with bands. It's like that with books. It's like that with all stuff. So you're missing out on a chance to get these people who have never played your games before. If a friend lends it to you, you play it and you fall in love with it. And then you've got a fan for life after that. But if you don't let people play used games, you're missing out on that.
Well, yeah, and just because you buy, you know, or borrow it from a friend doesn't mean you're not going to go out and buy a new copy of the same game. Like if you lend me something and I really like it, but you want it back, I'm going to probably think, oh, well, maybe I'll go and buy this game now. And like you said, you know, you now have a customer for life. And
exactly.
Unless you offer some kind of solution to being able to play, especially older games, I think that taking away this used game market is just selfish. I mean, I understand financially, big business wants you to keep buying their products, but it just bothers me.
I agree, and I know there's issues with piracy and there's issues with that kind of stuff, but if anything you could say about a video game player, if you could sum it up in one word, they are very loyal. They're very loyal to their consoles, they're very loyal to their titles they like, they're very loyal to many things, and you create brand loyalty by letting people play your games. And I say it again, It's the way the word spreads. And our show is the perfect example of that. We talk about games, people hear about it and say, huh, maybe I want to play that, and they go out and play it. And sometimes we talk about what we're playing, and sometimes we talk about older games, and it's just the way it works. And, you know, trading games is the way to spread word and for things to catch fire. And I think if you talk to developers, they maybe wouldn't be so hot on the idea. Yeah, it's a losing... you can lose money in the short term, but in the long term, you can make money.
Yeah, there's plenty of stories out there about how people purchase Mass Effect 2, not at launch, but like a year later, or maybe 2 years later, or 6 months later. And then when Mass Effect 3 came out, boom, there you go. They bought Mass Effect 3 day one, and that game saw amazing sales.
And we should also say this too, and this is another thing that really bothers me, is that video game developers, people who work in the industry, people who make consoles, should be mindful and know the fact that it's not a cheap hobby. It's not. Mm-hmm. Playing video games is not cheap. The initial investment is at least $400, depending on what you're buying, right? Then buying games after that can be $50 to $70 per pop. So you can't, it's not like buying CDs where it's $15 or $20. It's a major investment. So the way you cut your costs is if there's three games coming out, all three of us want to play it on this show. Christine buys one, Brian buys one, I buy one, and then we switch. And we trade. And that's the way you get more bang for your buck. Mm-hmm. If you cut it off and you can't let people play used games on their consoles, that sucks.
Yeah.
And you're losing loyalty and you're losing customers that way, in my opinion, anyway. So if you have any thoughts on that issue, we'd love to hear from you about it. Tweet us at GotGame590. Email us at GotGame@Sportsnet590.ca and tell us if we're crazy or if we're right. We also want to talk about, Christine, it's been a few weeks and you haven't talked about Skyrim, and what's up with that?
It's crazy.
But now there's reason for you to talk about Skyrim.
Yes,
and that reason is summed up in one word: connect.
Yeah.
Connect. If you're still playing Elder Scrolls Skyrim on the 360, which we know millions of people are, it's coming to connect with some vocal controls, and the patch should be... coming up soon, or is it out already? It's coming out soon.
It's coming out soon, as far as I know.
And part of it is being able to yell dragon commands. I know
you will literally be able to shout your shouts, and I think it's one of those things that's interesting in theory, but I don't know. First of all, I don't think my neighbors are going to like it if suddenly I'm screaming Fusroda, you know, or my cat will run away. There's a lot of shouts.
What are you screaming? Can I hear it again?
No.
Okay, go on.
There's a lot of different commands, especially like in the shouts themselves. That would be, especially because that would be a lot to remember, and you'd have to write it all down. And frankly, I mean, I don't know about what the new Kinect system that will be coming out eventually is going to have, but still, when I'm playing the Kinect, you have to say, you know, Xbox something, you know, command.
Yeah, right.
And especially if you're in a battle and you've got a dragon there, and I don't think I'm going to be like, Xbox, shout.
It's not exactly going to be that, because I know neither of you have played Mass Effect 3, but did you guys hear the story about controls in that game?
No, but tell us, Calhoun.
It wasn't working exactly as it was planned, because for some reason, the game was spouting out dialogue of the various characters, and it was accidentally setting off the Kinect sensor, and the Kinect sensor was responding to itself, and the game was like picking choices for the player without them saying anything. So I don't know if it would work exactly like that, considering how...
That's a game where you don't want that to happen, because every choice you make in the Mass Effect series is like life or death.
Yes, yes, yes. So I imagine a lot of people were like trying to restart the game really quickly before anything's safe.
Do you want to kill Commander Shepard? Yes! Oh, no! But, right, go on.
I don't know if that's a problem that you'd have in a fictional world that is sort of a Skyrim thing, considering how deep it is into sort of, I don't know, a fake language where the guy's doing all these dragon
chanting. Yeah, if he's chanting in the dragonborn speak.
But it could happen.
I kind of like the idea of there being... Yeah. I mean, you want to... Part of video games is to immerse yourself in the experience. And if you can yell out your dragon chants... Why not?
It would be. I mean, all right. In theory, it is. It's a cool idea to be able to sit there with your controller, and then you see a dragon coming, and then you just scream out your shout, and the dragon falls, and it's very interactive. And I just don't know. I think in theory it's great. I just don't know how well it would work in practice. But I'm totally willing to take part in it.
I'm glad. You know what else people are willing to take part in? The EA NHL cover vote.
I hear that.
Well, that's what we in this business call a segue. Mm. It's also a two-wheel bike if you're not...
It's not a segue if you keep pointing it out.
That's
I don't
true.
Know. I'm not very interested in at least the NHL cover vote right now, because I just thought like all the obvious choices were made. Phil Kessel was obviously...
On the Leafs?
For the Leafs.
You mean it wasn't Tyler Bozak?
No.
His handsomeness didn't win over?
Henrik Sedin got for Vancouver. PK Subban for Montreal. Lundqvist got it for the Rangers.
It was
the obvious choice was made every time.
Yeah, it's pretty much the obvious choices from almost every team that are out there. But now we're down, so there's one representative from each team, so you can cast your ballots. I believe it's on the EA NHL Facebook page. You can go there and find the link to cast your ballots and pick it. If you're a Leafs fan, you can throw your support behind Phil Kessel. The Madden cover vote is down to the final four, and it is Cam Newton versus Patrick Willis. And sadly, our good friend of the show, Drew Brees, is not amongst the final four, because the other pairing is Aaron Rodgers versus Calvin Johnson, the amazing superstar receiver for the Detroit Lions.
Didn't you pick him to win?
I did.
Thing?
Yeah. Once Tebow went down in a flame of glory, I went with Calvin Johnson. And I think he is going to win this, actually. Quick mention here, if you're a fan of Dark Souls, some sad news here. Some sad news coming your way. Atlantis Atlas confirmed that to Game Informer that the North American online service for the role-playing game Dark Souls will be shut down on May 31st at 11:59 p.m. Dark Souls was a cult hit from 2009, where gamers could leave messages for each other in the game space, and it's going away. And yeah. I think that's kind of sad for some people.
Well, I would say, you know, if those messages, the online interaction was going away, would that make the game kind of useless? But at the same point, tried to play that game, and I barely got for the first level.
So, isn't that the game that drove you crazy?
It was. But you know what? The online help, at times it was really helpful. Like, sometimes people would be jerks and they'd leave you the wrong messages. But
yeah. A lot of griefing in that game.
Yeah, it's definitely a part of the game, and it's an active part of the game. But
One of the coolest parts of the game is that you'll actually get sucked out of your game and taken into another game, and you'd have to fight the person in the other game, because the game would make you the bad guy in that scenario, instead of just pulling in some random NPC, non-playable character. It would bring you into that person's game, and you'd have to fight that person. So a lot of this game really does have a deep root in an online interactive play. So I just wonder, would anyone care afterwards if the servers are down? Because then you lose part of the game.
Well, it's happening on May 31st. If you're playing at 11:58, be aware that at 11:59, that's all going to come to a grinding halt. So just a heads up for you. Still to come on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan, we have had a number of big guests on this show's history. We had a number of big guests on this show today. Victor Lucas was in Section 1 talking about the Canadian Video Game Awards, the third annual. If you missed it, you can go back to our Got Game blog on sportsnet590.ca. But coming up next, one of the biggest guests we've ever had, and it's going to be cool, Joey Bats 19, coming up next on Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. That's what you're listening to. Momin Qureshi right here in the host chair. Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb around the triangular table. Now coming up on this part of the show, I was busy doing my 680 stuff early this week, but Brian and Christine, you had a chance to talk to somebody who is kind of famous in the city.
He's kind of a big
deal. People kind of know him, and at this time of year, people are kind of excited about him. His name is Jose Bautista. He is on the cover of MLB The Show, the Canadian edition. Before we get to the actual interviews, how was it meeting the man?
He was really nice. He was very personable, and he was taller than I thought he was, and he smelled really good, and he was really willing to answer any questions you had, and I thought that was, he just oozed class act, and I liked it.
And credit to him, because it was after a tough night where they blew the lead late in the home opener the night before, and it was, you know, like 10 in the morning or 11 in the morning. You guys talked to him the next day, so kudos to him for coming out and still being there to answer the questions after a rough night.
Yeah, and I've never met a professional baseball player before, and all the time I've worked in sports, it's not a game I cover, and it was actually kind of cool to meet him. He was very personable, yeah. And what I liked most about it was that, you know, I had just met this guy, and he was willing to crack jokes and just sort of have fun with it, and he started off by kind of making fun of Mike Wilner.
I guess the first question would obviously be, you know, the day you found out you're on the cover, what was that like?
Well, first, I want to say that I'm glad you're here, not Mike. I'm tired of seeing him every day, so I'm glad to see a different face from the fan. So it was great news. A smile from ear to ear. You know, it's one of those things that you dream as a little kid, you know, as a baseball fan and as a video game player. When you're growing up, if you love baseball, you can't help but to think, man, what if my face was ever on the cover? And it happened for me, and it was a great feeling, and I'm still happy, and I'm proud of, you know, represent myself, the team, and the country of Canada in the cover.
And now that you're on the cover, can you walk up to maybe someone else on the team who maybe give you a little lift that day and go, hey, listen, I'm on the cover, so you settle down?
Yeah, it does give me bragging rights. So I've used that a couple of times and trumped some other guys that are trying to overshadow me. So it's definitely nice when you're able to throw out something like that and kind of be like, you know what? I am on the cover, so you need to just relax and sit back right now.
And now when it was announced that you were going to be on the cover, we all thought it was kind of an obvious choice. Did you think it was an obvious choice?
No. I mean, around the game, you have great players in all a bunch of different markets and people that are just having phenomenal years, year in and year out. You have guys like Albert Pujols, Curtis Granderson, Jacoby Ellsbury, Roy Halladay, having Justin Verlander, having great years, you know. For me, it was a great honor to be picked because, you know, among that selected group, I was the quote-unquote chosen one. So it's a great deal to me, and I'm proud and honored.
Well, now that you're on the cover, have you taken a chance to go to the guys who made the game and go, hey, listen, my stats are good, but they could be a little bumpy or a little better. You can bump up, you know, some of those, maybe my hit average just a little bit.
No, you know what? It's pretty realistic. If you look at the, you know, the settings of the whole game when it comes custom from the factory, it's pretty realistic, and it resembles real life almost to the T. Fast guys are fast, power guys hit home runs, and guys that put the ball in play and get a lot of hits do the same. Same with pitchers, and they got their pitches down. They got the tendencies just like it is in real life. So it's actually a bit of a tool for me because anytime I'm playing, I can work on my approach for that particular game. If I'm pitching, if I'm facing Clay Buchholz tonight, I could play a game with myself and have him pitch, and I'm sure he'll pitch to me in the video game similarly to what he would in real life. So to me, it's almost a tool to prepare for the game.
Now, do you find when you play for it, do you always play as the Blue Jays, or do you veer out and play as a few other teams?
I have to play as a Blue Jay. I mean, I have no desire in playing as anybody else, not only because it's my team, because I'm also on the team. So, you know, it's kind of funny, too, because when I play with myself, I always try to do too much, and I find myself trying to hit home runs and stuff like that, and I don't do as well with playing for myself that I do with other guys like Laurie or Escobar, so it's definitely something that I got to work on and kind of keep my cool when I'm playing and batting with myself.
And, you know, let's say you have that rare day off to take some time out. Is that all you play, or is there, like, any other games you may break out every once in a while to play?
You know what? I play soccer, I play the FIFA game, and I play some of the race car games, but I'm not really into the killing games or the war games or anything like that. To me, it's all about the sports and maybe some race car driving games.
As a huge fan of race car driving games, I have to ask you, which ones are you playing?
The Gran Turismo is probably my favorite. Grand Theft Auto, it's got a little bit of mix of action game too, so I played that before. I used to play a rally, like one of those rally games way back when I had my PS2. I can't remember the name of it. But the one I play most is Gran Turismo.
Well, I guess the question I really have to ask you about everything else is that, you know, yesterday was a home opener. A lot of, and I don't know why this is coming up, but a lot of anger is coming out. I mean, it's a long season. A lot of people seem to be mad about what happened yesterday. What would you tell those fans who seem to have been a little upset about what happened yesterday, considering you have a whole season ahead of you?
It's fine to be upset. I mean, it's actually a good thing that people are upset that we're losing, because that means they feel confident that we're a good team and we shouldn't be losing those games. If they were content and they were happy that we'd be losing, that pretty much tells me right there that our whole fan base thinks that we suck, and we don't. And that's good that they were upset. We should have won that game last night. I was upset myself, so I don't expect my fans to feel anything else. We're going to win a lot more games than we have in the past and than we did last year, and that's a promise, because we have a much talented team and we're that much confident. And we walk into every stadium, or when we host other teams here, we feel like we have a chance. We don't feel like anybody's invincible. And I can't say the same that that happened in the past. So if we have the health and we have guys just play up to the capabilities without doing anything crazy or overboard or extraordinaire, we should have a really great year. We're going to enjoy a lot of success. And the buzz around the city is awesome. It gives us a lot of energy and gives us more confidence. And playing in front of a crowd with 50,000 people chanting behind you and knowing that they have your back makes you that much more confident and makes the opponent seem that much smaller, because it gives you a lot of power when you have 50,000 rooting for you. So it was awesome. Hopefully we can get a lot more crowds like that out in the Rogers Center, because we enjoyed it. And again, we should have won that game, but we have 158 to go, and we've put up a pretty good effort in the first four. 2-2 is not bad. We just have to keep winning series. We won the first one, and we still have a chance to win in this series. So that's our goal. I think if we win every series the whole year, we're going to be in first place and we're going to go to the playoffs, and that's the goal.
So there he is, Jose Bautista, right fielder for the Toronto Blue Jays, better known as Joey Bats 19. Well, he's not better known. He's also known as Joey Bats 19 if you follow him on Twitter, and I suggest you do because it's kind of cool.
He earned my respect. I mean, if there's one thing out there that I can respect, it's witty sarcasm, and that little joke that you made about Mike Willen at the very beginning really endeared him to me, so I really appreciate it. Also, he's a huge fan of auto racing games, as he said in the interview. He did mention Grand Theft Auto as one of the games that he likes to race around, and when we were doing the interview, there was a lot of reporters around there trying to get their tape and stuff like that and taking pictures. I saw a few eyebrows raised, like going, well, Grand Theft Auto is not a racing game, except the online racing modes are awesome. There's about 3 months of my life where all I would do is go home, turn on Grand Theft Auto, the Lost and Damned expansion for Grand Theft Auto 4, and just race around on bikes in up to 8-player online multiplayer racing. Kind of road rashy in a way, because everyone had like a bat they could swing at the people around them.
You know, I wasn't at this interview, which made me sad because I wanted to talk to Bautista. But the other thing that made me even more sad was that I didn't get to see Calhoun's expression when Bautista said he loved racing games.
I was
like, I wish I could have seen his reaction there.
It was like the heavens had shone down and the smile came on his face. And it was like, oh,
and then
awesome.
the next 19 minutes were about racing games, and Bautista was like, dude, I said I liked them. I didn't say there's my life.
Yeah, there was about 8 or so minutes in the center of that interview that I just cut out because I would be the only one who found it interesting.
There's also like a big pile of drool on the floor, and it got very awkward and very weird.
You mentioned you kind of missed this, and you're right, and you've had kind of like a bad streak of terrible luck when it comes to people coming here.
It's been a rough couple weeks for me. First I missed Vader and the Stormtroopers, then I missed Bautista. It's been a rough couple weeks.
So tune in next week when me and Christine interview Moment's favorite actress of all time, Jessica Alba, is it? Or is it Jessica Biel? I can never keep that straight.
It's Jessica Alba Qureshi, actually. Not a lot of people know that, but that's all right. She can take some. No, if you guys get her on the show, I will move heaven and earth to get to that place where that interview is. But it's all right, though. I like my job at 680, and I love what I do there. So Christine can tell you. I'm a little overzealous with my actual job, so it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's all right.
It'll make the tears go away if you just keep lying to yourself.
Oh, my therapist is going to hear a lot this week. Speaking of Jose Bautista, what does he have in common with Ghost Recon Future Soldier? Do you know?
No, I don't. Moment, please
tell
me.
Well, here's what it is. We have codes for the beta version of that game to give away. Now, why Jose Bautista, you say? We're going to post a picture of Bautista on our blog at sportsnet590.ca.
It's actually already up. If you go to the blog, I wrote a little, not a very long piece, but a quick preview piece. And in the center of that piece is a little picture of Jose. He's posing with a very nice gift that PlayStation Canada gave him, which is a custom PlayStation 3 and also a PlayStation Vita, some Move controllers, some games. It all came in this very nice box. And when you open up, you know, the bottom of the box kind of looks like the turf of the Rogers Center.
Right.
But the back of it, where the lid would be underneath the lid, that kind of looks like the wall. And on that lid, on that fake wall, there are three numbers that are written on that.
So we want to know what those numbers are. If you can send us those numbers as to what they are, you can do it either via email. You can email us at gotgame@sportsnet590.ca, or you can tweet it to us at gotgame590. Tell us what those numbers are in that picture of Jose Bautista on the Got Game blog at sportsnet590.ca, and we will send you a beta code of Ghost Recon Future Soldier. We do have a limited number, so be quick about it. Get it into us, and you can get in on the beta. That is all the time we have for this week's show. It's been a good one. If you missed it, Victor Lucas was on earlier, as was Jose Bautista. You can check the sportsnet590.ca Got Game blog or find us on iTunes. But that's it for now. For Brian Calhoun, Christine Chubb, I am Omen Qureshi. This has been Got Game on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.